You're listening to the Apollo Podcast Network.
In this episode, I'm going to talk to you about doing your year-end financial analysis. This is the one area in business I see so many business owners ignoring. Can you imagine that? It's like going to the mall and going shopping with a bunch of money in your wallet, but never actually looking at how much money you start with and how much you end with and how much stuff you get for everything that ended up in your bags. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Listen to this episode. There are two parts to it. And in these two parts, you are going to learn how to tear your financials apart and get everything you need to get out of your financials as an entrepreneur and business owner. Don't miss this one.
This is Titanium Life Radio with your host, peak performance speaker and business coach, Armaan Siddiqui.
My fellow business owners and entrepreneurs out there, did you do a year-end financial analysis of your business last year? Regardless of how small or how big your business is, my question to you is this. Last year, when the year ended, did you do a full financial analysis? Again, you could have a business that's based out of your garage where you make necklaces and you have total sales of $50 a month. And you could have this as a side business. You could have an eBay business. You could sell stuff on Craigslist. I don't care. Or you could have a massive corporation. My question to you is always the same. Did you do a full year-end financial analysis last year? Because if you didn't, I can tell you that you are setting your business up for failure. Or if you are fortunate enough to be so good at what you do that you're still making money, I guarantee you, you're leaving at least 50% of your profits on the table if you're not doing a full year-end financial analysis. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that because see, most entrepreneurs who I meet, most people who own businesses, in fact, over 80% of them are not doing year-end financial analysis. Now, when you think about that, what you realize is these people are essentially playing a game where they're not keeping score. Can you possibly win at the game of maximizing your profits if you're not looking at the score? See, most people think they're looking at the score. What they're doing is they're just looking at the money in their bank account. And they're seeing, can I pay my bills? How much money am I saving? How much money am I putting away? How much debt am I incurring? Stuff like that. If that, by the way, right? But that's how they're judging their business, is by how much money is in the bank. But how often are you going back and really looking at your financials? That's the critical thing I'm going to teach you today. I'm going to teach you how to do a year-end financial analysis. Now, interestingly enough, the way I suggest doing a year-end financial analysis is actually before the year is over. Because see, once the year is over, you're going to do another analysis, but that's the one that you do with your tax guy so you can file your taxes. But for most of you, your year-end financial analysis is going to need to happen sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Why? Well, because if you do your financial analysis between Thanksgiving and Christmas, as I've told you before, now you can plan for next year because that's the most valuable thing. Who cares about studying history, right? Why would you go back and study a bunch of history? Well, the reason you study history is because you want to learn lessons from history that you can apply in the future. And that's the key with doing a year-end financial analysis. So for me, doing my year-end financial analysis is part of my annual review of my business. This is that I do every single year. And as I told you, I lock myself up in a hotel room somewhere for an entire weekend or more, depending on how big my businesses are and what I've got going on, right? And I lock myself up in this room and I do nothing but analyze this stuff. And I go through it all and then I create a plan for next year. And that's how, again, when you look at my businesses, each year my businesses will show massive improvements in the first few months of the year because I'm always doing new things. I'm trying new things. I'm implementing new things and it makes a massive difference. And the biggest area of that is your finances. So let's get started with a couple of basics that you need to know when it comes to your finances. First of all, I highly recommend that you use QuickBooks as your financial analysis tool. If you are not already using QuickBooks, I highly, highly recommend you go look into it and see if it's something you want to use. If you're using something else, it might be okay, but in my opinion, today, QuickBooks is the best thing to use for most businesses out there. And I can tell you that the biggest company I'm running on QuickBooks has over 150 employees, and QuickBooks does just fine. Now, there's a point where QuickBooks isn't going to cut it anymore. Maybe if you've got a company with thousands of employees or complicated things that go beyond what any of my six businesses do, but I can tell you Today, QuickBooks can do everything any of my businesses need. And in fact, I want to make sure you're using QuickBooks Online. If you're still using the old version of QuickBooks, that's the desktop version, you're going to have to change that right away. The online version of QuickBooks is so incredibly powerful. It blows you away. It has an online version, which means you can access it from a desktop anywhere. You just go to the web and you can access your financials. Second of all, they now have a desktop application that goes along with it. So you can actually install a program on your computer. So on your desktop, it actually runs faster and it's more smooth and it looks exactly like the online version. And then the third one, which just blows me away how far they've come with this in the last year or two, is their application, their mobile application, their iPhone Android app. This thing is incredibly powerful. I mean, you can run your reports, all that stuff right on this thing. You can record transactions. You can charge people. You can pay bills. You can do all sorts of stuff directly on it. And because it's an online tool, it links up with all of your bank accounts and your credit cards and all that stuff. So it syncs everything for you. You can invoice people online and they can pay it online. I mean, it's just so incredibly powerful, such a powerful tool. I think you'd be crazy not to use it. So if you're not already on QuickBooks Online, I highly, highly recommend that you use QuickBooks Online. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a big proponent of Mint.com for your personal financials. Well, for those of you who don't know, Mint.com was purchased by Intuit, the same company that owns QuickBooks. So what Intuit did is they purchased Mint and then took a lot of the amazing things that they had created for Mint, and they've now implemented a lot of that stuff into QuickBooks. So it's a no-brainer. You got to do it. And the cost is minimal. It's a monthly fee that you pay depending on what version you need. Now, the version of it you need is going to depend on your business, the size of your business and stuff like that, but get that done. So today, I'm going to talk as if you already have QuickBooks. So a few times, I'm going to make references to certain features that are QuickBooks features. Now, any financial tool that you use out there, I don't care what you're using, is going to do all these things. No matter how simple or how complicated it is, it's going to have all these features that I talk about. Now, I might call them slightly different things, but for the most part, today's talk is generic, although a couple of times here and there, I'll throw out specific QuickBooks things. Now, look, if you're analyzing your financials, there are three key documents that you need to be looking at. Most business owners never look at their financials. And when they do, they only look at the first of the three documents. Why? Because they can't make any sense out of the second two, right? And many people don't even know the second and the third one exist, okay? So the first one that I know all of you have seen is a P&L. It's a profit and loss statement. Now, why do people look at their P&L? Well, they look at the P&L and what do? They go straight to the bottom, right? You ever done that before? If you have a one-page P&L, you look right at the bottom of the page. If it's a multiple page P&L, what do? You just flip to the last page and you go all the way to the bottom, all the way to the right-hand side, and you look at that number and you see how much money you've made. That's how most of you are reading a P&L. I know because I coach you guys and I know what you do in your businesses. Well, while that number may seem like a really important number, believe it or not, it's probably one of the less important numbers that you can get on these documents. So first of all, a P&L is simply a theoretical, and this is the key word, theoretical. It is a theoretical look at how much money you may or may not have made or lost. Purely theoretical. That's why you've got to look at your P&L, but you got to take all the information from your P&L with a grain of salt, especially if you're running your business on an accrual basis. But this theoretical thing also applies if you run your business on a cash basis. Now, for those of you who are saying, Armand, I don't know what accrual is, I don't know what cash is, super, super simple. Everything I talk about is for you, the entrepreneur, whether you're an established business owner or you just started a business yesterday selling baseball cards as I did when I was, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old. It doesn't matter, right? All this stuff is simple, simple things that you can learn. So what's the difference between cash and accrual? Cash and accrual are simply this. On an accrual basis, you put things on your books when you either earn the revenue or you spend the money, theoretically. Okay. Meaning, let's say you have an electrical bill and it's for $1,000 for this month. Well, if you're on an accrual basis, you put that in and you put that you spent $1,000 on electricity, even though you haven't paid the bill yet. Right? Now, if it's on a cash basis, you don't put in that you had $1,000 worth of electricity this month. You just put in the day you write the check. Now, the difference between that is this. Let's say you fall 2 months behind on your electricity. Don't do this because they'll shut you off. But if you do, on an accrual basis, you still show that you used electricity in the month of October and then you used electricity in the month of November. Whereas on a cash basis, it'll show that you had no electrical expenses in October. And in November, it'll show the total expenditure. So if it was $1,000 each, it'll show $2,000. That's the difference between accrual and cash, right? Now, most businesses, they are simpler to run on a cash basis than an accrual basis. However, running your business on a cash basis is not really, really, really telling you the best story. So ideally, you run your business on an accrual basis, but there are some complications that come along with running a business on an accrual basis. So for a lot of the small businesses out there, so if you're doing, for example, less than $1 million a year in revenue, I would suggest you run your business on a cash basis, unless there's some reason you want to go accrual. Now, as your business begins to grow, you're going to want to do accrual. And for big companies, you cannot do them on a cash basis. And to give you an idea, public companies and big corporations, of course, they're all on an accrual basis. It wouldn't make sense to run those businesses on a cash basis. Doesn't mean you can't look at the cash, you still can, but you run your financials on an accrual basis. So as a, let's say a doctor, when you see a patient on an accrual basis, right, and the patient is supposedly being charged $100 for the treatment that you're giving them, let's say you're a dentist and you do a filling and it's gonna be $100, let's say, you book that $100, even though this person might not pay you for another 2 months, even though you're going to bill the insurance, it doesn't matter. You put it on the books for that month. And why accrual is valuable is because when you're running your business on an accrual basis, you can actually see the activities in this month, how much revenue you earned this much, how much payroll you had this much, how much expenses you had this month. All of it is truly for this month, regardless of how much of it you paid, how much of it got paid to you and all that. When you run things on a cash basis, you're sort of seeing the world a little later than it actually happens, right? And you're seeing a slightly skewed version of it. So if let's say you're a dentist and your billing is falling behind, it looks like you're having bad months. But in reality, you're having a great month as a doctor. It's your billing department that's having a terrible month. And then 1 month you get your billing department to get on top of it and they bill everybody and they get all the money in. And suddenly, right on a cash basis, it looks like you had a great month. But in reality, all you did was you did really good billing. So it's a give and take, right? So you've got to decide which way you want to run your business. But just keep in mind, when you run your business on a cash basis, it's a lot easier to do accounting. When you go on an accrual basis, now it's a little more complex, but not a big deal. And if any of you know, one of the things that I'm a huge proponent of, I'm a big proponent of completely outsourcing your accounting. For most of you out there, you can outsource your accounting. I have personally outsourced accounting for every one of my companies, and I highly recommend you do the same. And at my business boot camp, I get into this and I actually bring in the company that I use to outsource my stuff and I teach you how to work with them to outsource all of your financials. So if you have not outsourced your stuff and you're coming to my business boot camp event anytime in the next 6 months or a year, then it's okay. You can come to that event and you're going to learn from me how to outsource all of your accounting and bookkeeping. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty of it. All right, when you're looking at your P&L, you're now seeing a theoretical picture of how your company is doing. Right. Next, let's talk about the balance sheet before we get into the details of the P&L. What is a balance sheet? A balance sheet shows you all of the things that you have. Simple. It shows you what you have. It shows you the tangible things. So it'll show you, a balance sheet will show you, for example, sort of the end result of all this stuff, right? If the P&L shows you sort of what's going on, what the activity is, right? The P&L shows you that. The balance sheet shows you the end result of all this. The balance sheet will show you, hey, you owe people a total of $50,000. And people owe you a total of $200,000. And you own $50,000 worth of stuff, furniture, right? It's all of that stuff. It shows you what's your balance, right? It's a balance sheet. What's your balance in all of your credit cards? What's the balance in all of your bank accounts? So it's the end result. And guess what? Many people are annoyed by the balance sheet because it seems that it's so hard to read. But I'll tell you, it's actually not that complicated once you understand how it works. And we're going to talk about the basics of it today. And if any of you, again, are coming to my business bootcamp, that's where we really get into it. But then you have the third document, which is your statement of cash flows. Now, a statement of cash flows, especially for a business run on an accrual basis, is extremely important because it shows you where your cash is going. So it shows you cash in and cash out. And by the way, with a business, anytime we talk about cash, we don't really mean just physical cash. Cash, checks, credit card transactions, wires, any money that's changing hands electronically, physically, or otherwise is considered cash. So what you're looking at on the statement of cash flows is, where did my money go and how did money come in? And at the end of the month, you can look at it and you can literally see very, very quickly and easily on a statement of cash flows is, how much money total did you bring in for the month? And how much money total did you spend for the month? Would that be a valuable number for you to know? Yes or no? If you spent $100,000 and you brought in $95,000, is that something you can continue to do regardless of what your P&L and your balance sheet tells you? Of course not. So what you're looking at is, you're constantly looking at those three documents together, because the three of them together give you a story about how your business is doing. If you look at any one of them independently, they'll lie to you. It's about bringing those three together to see how your company is really doing on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, and absolutely without a doubt at an annual financial review at the end of the year between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where you sit there and you really figure out how to do this stuff for your own business. And you dig into it on an annual basis and you analyze these things. So now, the P&L then shows you where you are making money and where you're spending money. So let's get into this in a little bit more detail. And remember, I said it's theoretical, especially if you're doing things on an accrual basis. If you're a doctor or a lawyer or professional out there, you know that much of what you bill, you never get paid because you end up having to go to collections and, you know, insurance doesn't pay and people don't pay and God knows what else, credit cards get denied. So the thing is that sometimes this theory, it's truly a theory, but it's a very, very important theory to understand. So you still have to like dig into it. So when you look at your profit and loss statement, your P&L, you look at the very, very top of it, right? That's section one of three. So when I talk about a financial statement, I talk about three different sections. Now, there's also this fourth section at the bottom you can look at, but I'm going to keep it very simple. The top of your financial statement on your P&L is going to show you all of your revenue. It's going to show you where money is coming in from. It's going to show you the sales that you're making. And if you have multiple channels, again, as a dentist, if you do fillings, if you do crowns, if you do cleanings, if you do all that sort of stuff, if you sell product in your office, it's going to show you all of those things. Then the next section is your cost of goods sold. The next section shows you, hey, where are we spending money in order to be able to do the things that we do in step one. And this is very important. These are direct costs that are going to affect your sales, meaning the things that go in that second section, these are the direct costs. This is not your rent, for example, because see, rent, if you double your business, in most cases, you are not going to double your rent because your building is your building. Now, at some point, you grow enough, you're going to have to move to a bigger office. But for most businesses, when you increase your sales, you do not increase what's called overhead. Overhead, things like rent, things like utilities, they go into that third section. Those are your expenses, all right? And then the fourth section, which I talk very little about, is all this other stuff, all this fancy stuff that your accountant needs to know. You really don't need to look at that section, but it's all your, all this other random stuff, you know, like taxes and stuff like that. But you really don't need to do much with that because that's the part that you have very little control over. Now, there are some things in there, by the way, that you have control over that have to do with interest rates and stuff like that. But let's ignore that fourth part, right? Let's focus on the first three. So going back to the top. When you look at your P&L and you're looking at the top section, what you're looking for is you're looking for your different streams of income. Now, first thing I can tell you is this. For most of you out there, you should be able to get your entire P&L collapsed onto one page. And this is my homework for you if it's not already collapsing to one page. Now, in QuickBooks, there's a little button that says collapse. When you hit the collapse button in QuickBooks, I want to see that your P&L is no longer than one page. If it's longer than one page, for most of you out there, unless you have a huge business, I suggest you get with your accountant or wait until you go through my business bootcamp and get with the people that I'm going to set you up with so we can get it so that your collapsed P&L is on one single page. If it wraps to a second page, even if it's just one line, I don't like that. I want you to be able to see it all on one page. Now, when you expand it, again, another one of those QuickBooks terms, when you expand it and it goes to two or three or four pages, I don't care. But the collapsed version, I don't want it to be more than a page. Now, when you're looking at this thing, here's some of the most common mistakes I see. When you look at the top portion that shows you your revenue and sales, what many of you are going to have is you're going to either have too many line items or too few line items. If you look at the top and all of your revenue is one line item, you're doing something wrong because it's not telling you the specifics of where that money is coming from, right? The other extreme that I see is entrepreneurs who have this P&L and you look at the top and there's like 11 different line items. See, that's too many. What you're looking for is something between, let's say, 3 to 5, 6, 7, maybe something like that, but certainly less than 10 lines. And there certainly should be at least 3 lines up there. So what you're doing is you're categorizing your income or your revenue or the money that you're making, you're categorizing it into big categories, right? So as that dentist, a dentist might have, for example, all of their basic stuff into one category. And they could just call it basic dentistry. I don't know what it would be called, right? And then a second one could be sort of the fancy stuff that they do. You know, the let's say the crowns that they do or any kind of additional work that people come in for above and beyond the regular stuff. And then a third one maybe is the products that they sell, right? A fourth one could be any referral revenue that they have. Maybe they work with an orthodontist or something. I'm just making stuff up here, guys. The bottom line is at the very top, you need to see what are the different ways that your company is making money, and you need to have those separated out into different channels, right? Now, you don't want to list every single product either, and that's what I see sometimes is people will have all these lines. You know, there's like 15 lines. What they've done is they've taken their items. Again, that's a word that QuickBooks uses. They've taken their items and they've given each of them a unique account. You don't want that either. What you want is you want to have it where everything at the top is telling you a big picture, quick story. So let's say you have 5 items. Perfect. Now what you're doing at your annual review is you're looking at those 5 items and you're saying, what are my biggest sources of revenue? And one of the things that I highly recommend you do in your annual review is you got to look at those line items and you've got to decide, where am I really making most of my money? Not where did I think I was making most of my money. Now, this is not profit. This is just sales. This is revenue. This is total gross money that comes in, right? But what we're looking at is, where is the money really coming in from, right? If you're that dentist, are you really making most of your money on crowns, or are you really making most of your money on tooth cleaning? So if you make most of your money on tooth cleaning, but you're putting all your focus on doing crowns because they sound like a great idea, what you need to start realizing is, hey, maybe I just need to focus more on these cleanings because they're making me more money. Now, as you'll learn in the next step, though, you then need to look at the profit that you're getting from each of these, because maybe you're getting a lot of revenue, but it's not turning into money in your pocket because the margins are not good, right? But what you're looking for is, what are those biggest things? Then the next thing that you're going to do is this. In QuickBooks, and again, in all these financial softwares, but definitely in QuickBooks, there's a way that you can click so that instead of showing you the totals, there's a dropdown that says totals only when you first run this report. What you're going to do is you're going to click that dropdown, and then you're going to do by month. And when you do by month, it now breaks your entire P&L into showing you every single month. So if you're doing it for the last 12 months, which is what I recommend, or doing it for year to date. So if you're doing this between Thanksgiving and Christmas, what you'll get is you get 10 months of data or 11 months of data, right? So you'll have 11 different line items and then you'll have your total, right? If you're doing it for the last 12 months, you get 12 months and then a total. And what you're looking for is, what things are fluctuating a lot on a monthly basis? What things are up and down? You'll see some of your revenue is pretty steady. Some things are just going up and then they're falling. And what you're doing is you're going to look into those and say, why? Why did these things fluctuate? Was it seasonal? Was it a promotion I ran? What was going on that caused this to happen? And then, most importantly, you look things that have some sort of a trend developing, either an uptrend or a downtrend. And by an uptrend, what I mean is, let's say some aspect of your business in June had $10,000. Then in July, it was 12. Then in August, it was 15. Then in September, it was 20. Then in October, it was 30. We need to look at that and see what's going on that's making that thing go up. And is it something we want to have go up? Because maybe you're starting to get into an area of the business that you don't want to have go up, or some things are going down. Is some aspect of your business going down and you're just not thinking about it, right? Imagine AOL back in the day, right, when they had this service. At some point, I guarantee you that their revenue from their basic service of people doing dial-up started to go down. See, that was a really, really important day for them to notice, because if their revenue in that area is going down, even though their advertisement revenue and all this stuff is going up, the company as a whole may be doing extremely well. But see, AOL needed to see that, oh my goodness, something is going on. We are not making as much money off of the basic part of our business, which is dial-up. And that's what I want you to be watching. So what are the things that are moving up and down, you know, at random almost, right? Then what are the things that have either an upslope or a downslope? And then the fourth question, which was the first one I said, is, what are the biggest items? So when you look at the top of your P&L, those are the four big questions. I'll go over them with you again. Number one, what are my biggest revenue items? Where am I really doing most of my business? Number two, what are the parts that seem to be up and down and don't have any sort of a trend or any sort of an average that makes sense? They're up one day, down the next. What's going on there? The third one, what has an upslope and what has a consistent downslope? You're looking for those things. If you get that information, now you're going to use that information to plan for next year. And that's why you see my companies, and they typically have so many massive changes and improvements towards the end of the year, starting a new year, because I'm always looking at where my company is and I'm analyzing it. Some of you might say, well, Armand, why don't you do that every month? You could, but the thing is in fact, we do a small version of this every month and every quarter, but really it's annually that you can rethink the big things within your business. All right, so let's stop right there. That's a lot of information for you to digest. So what I'm going to do is, in next week's episode, what we're going to do is we're going to dig deeper into this same topic, and we're going to finish this off and make sure you know exactly how to analyze all the different areas of your financials. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. If you like what you heard, please go over to iTunes, search Titanium Life, subscribe to the show, download and listen to all the episodes. Yes, all the episodes. They're really good stuff. And then don't forget to rate and review the show. Remember, 5 is our favorite number, especially when you're giving us ratings. Do you have a question you've been dying to ask me about your business, about health, fitness, finances, relationships, whatever it may be? Go to my social media right now and ask me your question, and I'm going to answer it on a future episode. You can always follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Titanium Success. So reach out to me, and I'll make sure to get your questions answered on a future episode.
Thanks for listening to Titanium Life Radio with Armand Sadeghi here on the Apollo Podcast Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit titaniumsuccess.com/podcast.